us. Now, space capsule launch, teachers strike deal. I'm Bart Neckert.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition, liftoff.
SpaceX on the verge of flying humans for the first time. The company's new Crew Dragon capsule, which is built to carry NASA astronauts to the International Space Station, has blasted off from Cape Canaveral. It doesn't have people on board, but a successful test flight could tee up the company to fly astronauts this summer. House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings is giving the White House until Monday to comply with a request for documents and interviews related to how the White House handles security clearances. Correspondent Bill Michaels reports a tentative deal has been reached to end a public school teacher's strike in Oakland, California.
Among other things, the deal would give teachers a 14% raise, which includes a one-time bonus. But it's not official unless unionized teachers ratify the deal in the next 24 hours. Both sides, however, sounded optimistic about that. The teachers went on strike a week ago, saying they cannot keep up any more with the rising cost of living in the area.
Planning to sleep in this weekend? You may be hurting your health.
A study by the University of Colorado Boulder finds people who use their weekends to catch up on sleep gained more weight and showed declines in the ability to regulate blood sugar compared to those who kept a consistent schedule. Researchers say burning the candle during the week, then sleeping in on Saturday and Sunday, can lead to a sharp drop in insulin sensitivity, boosting the risk of diabetes. Experts at the National Center on Sleep Disorders Research say getting sufficient sleep on a regular basis is important to your health. I'm Ann Cates.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has boarded his private train at the Vietnam-China border, ending a trip that saw a summit breakdown with President Donald Trump. I'm Bart Neckert.
Texting enrolls for alerts and offers via automatic text message. Message and data rates may apply.
Hello, America. This is Martha Stewart. Now you can cook great-tasting dinners at home, and it's easy. Forget about frozen foods and takeout. Instead, join me for great home-cooked food. Introducing Martha and Marley Spoon Meal Kits. Pre-portioned fresh ingredients with my wonderful easy-to-follow recipes delivered right to your door. And right now you can try three for free. For a very limited time, I'm offering three free Martha and Marley Spoon meals to everyone, anywhere. Imagine cooking butter-basted steak, Berkshire pork tenderloin, cheese-stuffed chicken, and more. With new recipes every week, Martha and Marley Spoon helps you put a delicious dinner on your table in around 30 minutes.
For three free meals and free shipping, text FEED to 246810. Just text the word FEED to 246810 for details. Hurry, three free won't last long. Text FEED to 246810.
The only thing constant is change. Disneyland peeled back the curtain on its upcoming new edition.
Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is not just another land inside Disneyland, it's a whole new world.
She's the fastest hunkajunk in the galaxy.
Among its features, a life-size replica of the Millennium Falcon and a ride that simulates flying her in what's called Smuggler's Run. Another ride inside Galaxy's Edge,
the Resistance.
Rise of the Resistance, in which riders become part of the Resistance, one of the biggest, longest, most elaborate rides in the history of Disneyland. Everything about it is meant to be an experience, nearly impossible to describe. It'll open this summer in California and Florida in the fall. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
On Wall Street, wrapping up the week on Friday, the Dow up 110 points. The S&P managed to gain 19. The NASDAQ ahead by 62. I'm Bart Neckert.
WMAL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. We do have a serious accident eastbound on 66 at Chainbridge Road, Route 123. All lanes have been blocked, but it looks like traffic is now getting by on the right side. They were along the left side of the roadway, so do allow yourself extra travel time there. Elsewhere, we do have some poor road conditions reported on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway between 197 and 32. There have been reports of numerous potholes in the area, so use extra caution when traveling that area and keep your speeds down.
Sundays on WMAL. Starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 6, it's Purity Products. And at 6:30, Chris McKay Returns. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. And at 8:30, it's Senior Solutions. Hear the Wise Investor at 9, the Underwriter's Corner at 11, Dr. Tom Rozelle live at noon, Right on Retirement at 1, the Del Walmsley Show at 2, Mortgage Radio at 3, and Real Estate Today at 7 on WMAL.
Man, aren't you tired of being hoodwinked into buying socks size 9 through 12? 9 through 12 is a size range, not a size. How can one size sock fit four different feet the same? Kane 11 makes men's socks in 11 individual shoe sizes, 7 through 17. It just makes sense. Everything else you wear fits. So should your socks. Kane 11 socks are crafted with premium merino wool in the ideal weight and cushioning for year-round comfort. I'm Pete Hunsinger, co-founder of Kane 11. Our socks are an innovation of concept and design that take the mystery out of sock sizing forever. Take it from me, you'll be amazed at how comfortable socks are when they actually fit. Kane 11 designs are stylish yet understated, so you can wear them anytime, anywhere. Be prepared. You'll be surprised the difference wearing socks that actually fit makes. You will never go back to wearing multi-size socks again. Kane 11, precisely your size.
Save 20% off your first order at Kane11.com. Enter promo code SOCK. That's K-A-N-E-1-1.com. Kane11.com. Promo code SOCK.
It's time to start preparing your home to sell this spring. Hi, I'm Eric Stewart. I want you to join me Sunday morning right here at 8 a.m. for the Pointing You Home Show, which is your number one local real estate news resource. Here I'll help you learn how to prepare your home to sell, how to get the most return on your home, plus you can learn all about the current market trends for the DMV. With over 30 years of experience, I've pretty much seen it all. So start learning today. Just Google Eric Stewart Group right now. Go to ericstewartgroup.com.
It's March Markdowns at the National Capital Boat Show, March 8th through the 10th. Boats for every budget, all under one roof. For more information, visit nationalcapitalboatshow.com.
Have you been thinking of buying a home? Are you a first-time home buyer with lots of questions? The main question is, how do I even get started in this whole process? The way you begin is to tune in to the Underwriter's Corner on Sunday, 11 a.m. to the noon hour. Put any question you have directly to the underwriter at First Preference Mortgage. All the loan officers will also be available to talk to you one-on-one. This is one time you don't get voicemail. Getting pre-approved is free. There's no cost to you. Know what you're qualified for, how much money you will need out of your pocket, and what your monthly mortgage payment would be before you go out looking at houses. Join us on Sunday at 11 a.m. here at WMAL 105.9 FM, AM 630 WMAL. I look forward to talking with you on Sunday, 11 a.m. for the Underwriter's Corner.
Don't miss the Underwriter's Corner with host Bill Parisi, Sundays at 11, right here on WMAL.
Now, the Saturday Morning Update. 105.9 FM. At AM 630. WMAL.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. Plenty to cover today. Wow. Between the president in Hanoi and Michael Cohen on Capitol Hill, that would cover about 4 or 5 hours this morning, but there's a lot of other stuff going on, too. CPAC in town. Vice President Pence was there yesterday. The president will be there today, scheduled on the agenda for 11:30 this morning, and we're going to get into that in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk to Tony Schaefer, who has been at CPAC, and we'll get a read on the excitement and the intensity that is seen in the conservative movement these days. And we'll talk with Tony Schaefer about that a little bit later on in the program. Some news breaking late last night in terms of where the Democrats go next. The House Democrats are vowing to get a hold of 10 years worth of President Trump's personal tax returns. They insist they will take, quote, all necessary steps to obtain them. You may have seen the testimony or at least heard the highlights from Michael Cohen. Or the lowlights, either way. He told Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to follow the money during his testimony. The House Ways and Means Committee chairman is said to be starting the process. The decision on whether to grant the request will ultimately fall with the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin. This is going to be interesting. They'll go to the IRS first, but ultimately, the say... Secretary of the Treasury, Steven Mnuchin. Wait for those fireworks. Nancy Pelosi's spokeswoman saying last night, we'll take all necessary steps, quote unquote. Of course, that comes after Cohen mentioned the president's tax returns and other accusations that Michael Cohen made on Capitol Hill. Something else going on in the Democratic Party of note I want to lead off with this morning is that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and also Nancy Pelosi turning up the heat on their own Democrats. I mean, the circular firing squad over there just continues to get even more interesting. And we've got a couple of clips we're going to play in a second from a Rolling Stone video that Pelosi and Cortez did. Came out last night. You'll love this. But first off, it was a closed-door session. Nancy Pelosi, frustrated, lashed out at about two dozen moderate Democrats, pressuring them to get on board. Quote, we are either a team or we're not, and we have to make that decision. That's according to two people present, but of course not authorized to discuss the remarks publicly. Now, Pelosi also was quoted as saying in that meeting, this is not a day at the beach. This is the Congress of the United States. Pelosi also said that vulnerable Democrats, and this is from Politico, Pelosi said vulnerable Democrats who had the, quote, courage to vote against the Republican motions to recommit would become a higher priority for the party leadership and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Let me just repeat that. Pelosi said Democrats who had the courage to vote against the Republican motions to recommit would become a higher priority for party leadership, meaning you'll get promoted to like a chairmanship or somewhere else in the party, and a higher priority for the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, a.k.a. cash, the money, the support. So Michael Cohen and the Cohen-Lenny Davis show, testimony from Michael Cohen the other day, talking about Trump being a mob boss, and Pelosi there is telling her Democrats, you better vote against the Republicans, or you ain't going to get as much money, and you're not going to rise to the top. So where's the mob mentality here? Now, AOC also turned up the heat on moderate Democrats. AOC lashed out at about two dozen moderates, too. And she said they'll face a crush of calls and progressive protests in their offices. Not the Republicans, the Democrats. You remember AOC showed up in Pelosi's office, right? And this was the closed-door meeting. AOC warned that she would put them on a list if they vote with Republicans. Now, you know the ego that these congressmen have, right? Can you imagine sitting in a meeting, being a moderate Democrat, maybe being in the Congress for, I don't know, 10 years, 12 years, and AOC, right, junior varsity coming in threatening you that if you don't go down the progressive path and you don't shut down the Republicans, that she's going to have people call your office and protest? Oh, she's got to be making a lot of friends up there, a lot of friends. This is going to be fascinating. And what she was talking about also involved some of the legislation, an amendment to a background checks bill that requires ICE to be notified when an illegal immigrant attempts to buy a gun. Now, wouldn't you think that might make sense? When an illegal immigrant attempts to buy a gun, you might want to notify, you know, ICE. Well, she's against that and made the threats. And that was just one of the things they were talking about. So as you see the Democrats attempting to paint the Republicans and the president and the administration and the White House in chaos, whoa, what is going on over on that side of the party? Oh, by the way, the governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, put his hat in the running for the presidency yesterday. Wow. There's a sleeper. It's 6:15. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and we have so much to cover. We have got sound from the president's press conference coming out of Hanoi. We've got sound, of course, on the Michael Cohen testimony. We've got sound coming up from CPAC. So a lot to cover this morning right here on the Saturday morning update. Here's Michelle Murray in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Looks like conditions are starting to improve on eastbound 66, scene of a serious accident that was right at Route 123, Chain Bridge Road. It looks like the accident activity is now along the right side of the roadway, so the right lane is blocked, but you are getting by to the left, and the delays are starting to ease in the area. Now, do keep in mind that on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, the National Park Service has lowered the speed limit to 40 miles an hour due to poor road conditions between 197 and Route 32. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, it is a damp and chilly morning here in the Washington area. We've got precipitation out there. Fortunately, it's 33 degrees in the city, so it's rain as opposed to something worse. Cloudy today. We'll have a high later on of 48. For tomorrow, a possible mix of rain and snow, but a high temperature of 38, so don't look for any particular damage there. The overnight low tonight only down to 34, so whatever snow comes in shouldn't be too troubling. Sunshine on Monday with a high of 38. Sunny on Tuesday, high only 39. And we're back down to lows in the teens for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. We'll only be up to 29 on Wednesday. As I said, 33 degrees in Washington, 6:16, Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
So we're just talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Nancy Pelosi. There's a video that came out, and it's Rolling Stone magazine. Not sure why they did this, but this is just priceless. This is AOC in the video, and then we'll get to Nancy Pelosi. And, you know, you've heard a lot of criticism of her and their jokes about her and things like that, but just listen to what she says.
If I had to say something to Trump, I probably wouldn't say anything because I don't think that it's worth the extra attention.
I wouldn't say anything to Trump because I don't think it's worth the extra attention. And there was a long pause there. She had to figure out what she was going to say. Now, if you're a congressman and you're trying to make a difference and you think maybe you've got, you know, some clout, you got a voice behind you. I mean, you are AOC now. You know, you're the acronym now. You're the icon. But you're not going to talk to the president, right? You're just not going to talk to the president. That's a really smart approach. Really smart approach. But Nancy Pelosi, here's what she had to say.
Mr. President, do the country a favor. Don't run.
Mr. President, do the country a favor, don't run. Well, that's a mature approach. Let's hear that one again, since it's 2 seconds.
Mr. President, do the country a favor, don't run.
I mean, whatever. If you don't think that that is galvanizing the support of the president from his base, and independents are looking at all of the shenanigans and wondering what the heck is going on. You had the commander-in-chief in Hanoi making an attempt at world peace by attempting to denuclearize North Korea, which has been a menace for decades. But you schedule a hearing to trash the president, script it, and we're going to get into some of the content there. But if the Democrats have ever shown that they put party ahead of country, they Democratic leadership clearly showed that this week. It just boggles my mind to attempt to destroy the commander-in-chief when he's in nuclear negotiations. And everybody knows that that hearing easily could have been scheduled on another day. But no. Well, let's brighten things up a little bit. CPAC is in town this weekend, and of course that is the Conservative Political Action Conference. Huge event. It's at the Gaylord in National Harbor. And what strikes me about CPAC is the young people, the youth, and the energy and excitement behind the conservative movement each year at CPAC. And Vice President Pence was there yesterday.
You know, it's the greatest honor of my life to serve as vice president, to a president who gets up every day and fights to keep the promises that he made to the American people. I mean, think about it. This president promised to get this economy moving again. And working with Republican majorities in the Congress, in our first 2 years, President Trump has cut more federal red tape than any president in American history.
And the vice president continued in his address at CPAC yesterday.
We've unleashed American energy, and now the United States is the largest producer of oil and natural gas in the world.
And we're going to catch one more, this Vice President Pence, speaking about tax cuts. This is at CPAC yesterday.
Under the president's strong leadership, we forged new trade deals that finally put American jobs and American workers first, and with the support of this generation of conservatives, President Trump signed the largest tax cut and tax reform in American history. That's promises made and promises kept.
So President Trump will be at CPAC. The agenda has him scheduled at 11:30 this morning for his address to CPAC. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of questions early on. Well, is he conservative enough? And, we'll see how that goes today at CPAC. I think he has certainly shown the conservative movement that he made commitments during the campaign, and he is doing everything in his power to keep his commitments. So what happened in Hanoi? The president there for the summit attempting to make progress with Kim Jong-un, but the president ultimately walked away, did not sign a deal that was scheduled to be a signing, but they could not come to an agreement. The president did not do the deal just to do a deal. He didn't feel any pressure from the craziness on Capitol Hill and the testimony from Michael Cohen and all that shenanigans. He didn't feel any pressure to have to come out of there with a deal. He stood his ground. So what happened, Mr. President? Here's what he had to say.
They wanted the sanctions lifted in their entirety, and we couldn't do that. They were willing to denuke a large portion of the areas that we wanted, but we couldn't give up all of the sanctions for that. So we continue to work, and we'll see, but we had to walk away from that particular suggestion. We had to walk away from that.
And, people talk about, well, the art of the deal, and he's not getting the deals done, yada, 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 yada. Here's what he had to say about the deals.
Always have to be prepared to walk. I could have signed an agreement today, and then you people would have said, oh, what a terrible deal, what a terrible thing he did. No, you have to be prepared to walk. And, there was a potential we could have signed something today. I could have 100% signed something today. We actually had papers ready to be signed, but it just wasn't appropriate. I want to do it right. I'd much rather do it right than do it fast.
Even Joe Biden and some of the other Democratic leadership, including Chuck Schumer, said he made the right decision to walk away. So even though there was the hashtag Trump failed, did the right thing. Surprising many. what's the situation with South Korea? Where does that leave South Korea in the mix? The president was asked that question as well.
I haven't spoken to Prime Minister Abe yet. I haven't spoken to President Moon, South Korea. But we will, and we'll tell them it's a process and it's moving along, but we just felt it wasn't appropriate to sign an agreement today. We could have. I just felt it wasn't very appropriate.
So that's some of the president's comments about the summit in Hanoi, and the president and the administration casting it as though they left on friendly terms. They will continue. And a couple of things just to keep in mind. Kim Jong-un has people test his food before he eats it. So you're dealing with somebody who is slightly paranoid. He's probably been told repeatedly by his lieutenants and generals, remember what happened to Muammar Gaddafi when he gave up his nukes. So you meet Trump once. Are you going to give up your nukes if you sit down with Trump once? I don't think you're going to get there the first time. Not sure you're going to get there the second time. It's going to take a couple of dates before you score a nuclear agreement. 6:25 on the Saturday Morning Update.
It's switch and save days at Comcast Business. Right now, when you switch to the nation's largest gig speed network, you save on fast, reliable internet. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for a two-year agreement when you add 4G LTE backup and one voice mobility line. That's $600 off our regular yearly price. And if you sign up by April 7th, you'll get a $300 prepaid card, too. So don't wait. Switch to fast, reliable internet with Comcast Business and enjoy 4G LTE backup. Just one more way we take your business beyond. But hurry. Switch and save days ends April 7th. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 4/7/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. Two-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Prepaid offer ends 4/7/19.
I'm Melanie King, Manager of IT Projects and National Accounts for American Dairy Queen Corporation. We needed a website to satisfy our home office needs and provide our franchisees with a site for communication with the home office. It's difficult to find a company that works with both large and small businesses. Thankfully, we turned to AmericanEagle.com. After meeting with us, they determined our needs and the needs of our franchisees, each one a small business. We now have an incredibly effective communication tool we love. It's mobile-friendly and allows us to manage and communicate national promotions, menu info, and a lot more. It meets all of our business needs. Just remember, when you get the urge for a blizzard or a fantastic burger, stop by your local Dairy Queen. If you're looking for a results-driven web solution that meets your needs, whether you're a small, medium-sized business or an iconic brand like Dairy Queen, call AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 703-WEBSITE. That's 703-WEBSITE. And take your business to new heights.
We've got plenty to cover on the Saturday Morning Update, and very glad you joined us. Now, coming up in the next half hour, we're going to talk to James Trustee. He is an attorney at the IFRA firm here in Washington, IFRA Law. And he is formerly the chief of the organized crime section at the U.S. Department of Justice. So he's a really smart guy to talk about the testimony with Michael Cohen. I mean, the former chief of the organized crime section of the U.S. DOJ, that's quite a resume. And, you know, now he's out in private practice. But interesting guy. We're going to talk to him coming up 647, 648, something like that, right in that neighborhood. We'll be talking with John Gizzi right at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. Obviously, we'll talk about President Trump, the summit, the history with summits and making progress in, you know, agreements like these. Also, we will talk to John Gizzi for his perspectives on the testimony from Michael Cohen. John sat down with Congressman Adam Kinzinger this week, and you may know that, of course, he was deployed in his National Guard service down to the border, the southern border, and spent some time actually on the border. And Adam Kinzinger came back to the Congress, and you'll hear what his thoughts were before he left and when he came back. So that's an interesting conversation that we will have with John Gizzi coming up later on this morning. And then we've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. Now, Tony's been out at CPAC, so we'll get his read on the buzz and the energy there. We'll get Tony's thoughts on the summit and what's next with North Korea. Also, you may have heard that Hamza bin Laden, who is Osama bin Laden's son, now has a $1 million bounty on his head from the United States. How come? Well, we'll ask Tony Schaefer that one. And Space Force will be getting off the ground with $2 billion. Sounds like, that sounds like kind of a low budget for Space Force, $2 billion?
I mean, you know, $2 billion, you go through that with one rocket launch these days, don't you? Whatever. We're going to talk about all of this on the Saturday morning update. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about the Cohen testimony on the Hill. If you missed the hearings, if by any chance you had to work all day and couldn't, like, glue yourself to the television, we'll have some of the, I don't want to say highlights. We'll just have some of the sound. I wouldn't call it highlights. We will have some of the sound from the Cohen hearing on Capitol Hill. That's all coming up. Stay with us here on the Saturday Morning Update.
If you've got an Amazon Echo, you've got a new way to listen to WMAL.
This is huge news!
Hear mornings on the Mar, Chris Plant, Rush Limbaugh, Larry O'Connor, Mark Levin, and more.
Listen to this.
For one-time setup, say, Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Once your device is enabled, just say, Alexa, play WMAL.
It's really that simple.
However you connect, getting breaking news and the inside story has never been easier.
Isn't that kind of fun?
Get all the details at WMAL.com.
It is 6:30, and we'll check of the headlines around the globe. America's newest capsule for astronauts has launched this early a.m. It is rocketing toward the International Space Station on a high-stakes test flight. It was launched by SpaceX early this morning. Falcon rocket blasted off from NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The only passenger is a life-size test dummy. His name is Ripley. From the Alien movies, SpaceX needs to nail the debut of the capsule before putting people on board later this year. The Dragon should reach the space station tomorrow. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has boarded his private train at the Vietnam-China border, ending a trip that saw a summit breakdown, and he is spending his last day in Hanoi laying the large red and yellow wreath at a memorial and mausoleum of national hero Ho Chi Minh. His official visit was meant to cement his image as a confident world leader. Those were the activities of his last day in Hanoi today. He had an entourage of top North Korean officials with him. Kim's private train takes him on a 60-hour trip through China and back home to Pyongyang, the capital, of course, of North Korea. Pakistan's military says that Indian troops have fired across the line of control into the Pakistan-controlled portion of the disputed region of Kashmir. Two civilians killed, others wounded. Casualties today bring to six the number of people killed on both sides of Kashmir since the overnight Friday fighting began. Pakistan's military said in a statement that the troops, quote, gave a befitting response by targeting Indian posts. The Indian Army said Pakistani soldiers attacked Indian posts at several places along the militarized line later in the day there on Saturday. Of course, that's the latest exchange of fire between two nuclear-armed rivals. Comes a day after Pakistan did release an Indian pilot. That was an attempt to defuse tensions. Pakistan arresting the pilot this past week after they shot down two Indian planes in Kashmir, which is split between the two countries, but claimed in its entirety by both countries. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders will return to Brooklyn, the New York City borough where he was born, launching his presidential campaign officially. It is expected to connect his working-class childhood to his populist political views that have reshaped the Democratic Party. First rally of Sanders' presidential bid will be held at Brooklyn College, which Sanders attended before leaving for the University of Chicago. Today, Sanders is expected to focus on his calls for Medicare for All, a $15 an hour minimum wage, and tuition-free public colleges, but also place an emphasis on telling voters his personal story. Canada says it will allow the U.S. extradition case against Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou to proceed. The Canadian Department of Justice officials issuing the statement yesterday saying the case will begin after the completion of a diligent review of the evidence. Meng is due in court on March 6th, that is next week. At that time, a date for her extradition hearing will be set. And you may have seen some of the images from Oakland, California, where school teachers and leaders have reached a tentative deal to end a week-long strike. It did get ugly this week. School districts said Friday the teachers will receive an 11% salary increase plus a one-time 3% bonus. 3,000 teachers walked off the job on February 21st. We'll have traffic and weather next on WMAL 634. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Good news on 66 eastbound. The earlier accident at Chainbridge Road with 123 has cleared. All lanes are open and traffic is now moving well in the area. No other incidents or problems to report in the area, although we do have an accident in Silver Spring right now on Piney Branch Road westbound at University Boulevard. And keep in mind that the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, the speed limit has been lowered to 40 miles an hour due to poor road conditions between 197 and Route 32. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Precipitation this morning will be cloudy later in the day, high to 48. We'll be down to 34 overnight. For tomorrow, high temperature 38, wintry mix in the picture for Sunday. But again, the overnight low to 34, tomorrow's high is 38, so not expecting any serious problems there. Mostly sunny on Monday, high of 38, but then we drop down to overnight lows in the teens for the better part of the week. Sunshine Tuesday, high to 39. Wednesday, partly cloudy, high 29, but expecting lows of 17 degrees each night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 33 now in Washington, and we're headed to 48 this afternoon, 6:36 Saturday morning update.
Man, aren't you tired of being hoodwinked into buying socks size 9 through 12? 9 through 12 is a size range, not a size. How can one size sock fit four different feet the same? Kane 11 makes men's socks in 11 individual shoe sizes, 7 through 17. It just makes sense. Everything else you wear fits. So should your socks. Kane 11 socks are crafted with premium merino wool in the ideal weight and cushioning for year-round comfort. I'm Pete Hunsinger, co-founder of Kane 11. Our socks are an innovation of concept and design that take the mystery out of sock sizing forever. Take it from me, you'll be amazed at how comfortable socks are when they actually fit. Kane 11 designs are stylish yet understated, so you can wear them anytime, anywhere. Be prepared. You'll be surprised the difference wearing socks that actually fit makes. You will never go back to wearing multi-size socks again. Kane 11, precisely your size.
Save 20% off your first order at Kane11.com. Enter promo code SOCK. That's K-A-N-E-1-1.com. Kane11.com. Promo code SOCK.
Saturday morning update, 6:37. Jennifer Harper traveling this weekend, so you'll be back with us next week. And we thought we'd take some of the audio, because I don't think this was a highlight in American history, that's for sure. But we'll take some of the audio here from the Cohen hearings. Now, you've all heard the one. I don't even need to repeat it, because you've all seen this, like, you know, repeatedly, where Michael Cohen opens up in his opening statement that I'm sure he had a lot of help from his pals there. He had an earlier meeting before he meets with Adam Schiff and Elijah Cummings, right? So let's get the team together. Let's huddle the team with our quarterback, Lanny Davis, and we'll all get together and figure out how we're going to script it all out. Well, the opening volley was certainly scripted. The closing remarks of Michael Cohen, clearly Democratic talking points, words in there. I mean, he couldn't even pronounce aggrandize right. Okay. So, clearly scripted for Michael Cohen, the opening and closing remarks, got every one of the Democratic talking points. I mean, I couldn't have written that. It was so well written. If you're a Democratic operative, but anyway, we're going to rule out the opening, because you've heard Michael Cohen's opening line, right? President Trump, racist, con man, and a cheat. How many times have you seen that all week long? So we don't need to play that. You've got that memorized. The opening volley. Now, it was interesting because the major networks cut in on the soap operas and the game shows. I mean, we gave up Wheel of Fortune to watch this, okay? So here's what the American public is greeted with, right? I mean, right out of the box. Here's Mark Meadows, of course, Republican Mark Meadows, and he moves to postpone the hearing. And he's got what I'd say is a pretty valid reason.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of order. You'll state your point of order.
Rule 9F of the committee rules say that any testimony from your witness needs to be here 24 hours in advance. The committee, the chairman knows well that at 10:08 we received the written testimony, and then we received evidence this morning at 7:54. Now, if this was just an oversight, Mr. Chairman, I could look beyond it. But it was an intentional effort by this witness and his advisors to once again show his disdain for this body. And with that, I move that we postpone this hearing.
Okay. So, you know, they have rules. Clearly, Cohen's team didn't play by the rules. That's a valid request from Mark Meadows. Well, here was the response from the chairman, Elijah Cummings.
Let me say this, that we got the testimony late last night. We did. And we got it to you all pretty much the same time that we got it. I want to move forward with this hearing.
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, Mr. Chairman, this is a violation of the rule. And if it was not intentional, I would not have a problem. I'm not saying it was intentional on your part. I'm saying it's intentional on his part, because Mr. Dean, last night on a cable news network, actually made it all very evident. John Dean, and I'll quote Mr. Chairman, he said, as a former committee counsel in the House Judiciary Committee and then a long-term witness, sitting alone at the table is important. Quote, holding your statement as long as you can so the other side can't chew it up is important as well, close quote. And so it was advice that our witness got for this particular body. And, Mr. Chairman, when you were in the minority, you wouldn't have stood for it, and I can tell you that we should not stand for it as a body.
Okay, so that was the opening volley, and right off the bat. Then Cohen spends about 30 minutes completely trashing the president, as I mentioned earlier. Clearly had a lot of help writing that one. Jim Jordan opens it up. Representative Jim Jordan, of course, the Republican. And I thought it was kind of interesting that there's been such a focus on, Michael Cohen's going to jail because he lied to the Congress. He's going to jail for a lot of other things. And here's what Jim Jordan laid out.
And in your sentencing statement back in December in front of the judge, you said this, Mr. Cohen: my weakness can be characterized as a blind loyalty to Donald Trump, a blind loyalty that led me to choose a path of darkness. Is that accurate, Mr. Cohen?
I wrote that.
You wrote that and said that in front of the judge. Is that right?
That's correct.
Let me read a few other things here, and let me ask you why you did some of these things. When you filed a false tax return in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, and 2016, was all that out of blind loyalty to the president?
No, it was not.
When you failed to report $4 million in income to the Internal Revenue Service, did you do that to protect Donald Trump?
No, I did not.
And when you failed to pay $1.4 million in taxes, I got constituents who don't make that in a lifetime. When you failed to pay $1.4 million in taxes to the U.S. Treasury, was that out of some blind loyalty to the President of the United States?
It was not, but the number was 1.38 and change, and I have paid that money back to the IRS.
All right, so there was a little back and forth, and then Jordan continued with the list.
When you made false statements to financial institutions concerning a home equity line of credit, taxi medallions, and your Park Avenue apartment in 2013, 2014, and 2015, and you pled guilty to making those false statements to those banks, was that all done to protect the president?
No, it was not.
Okay, so, you know, Jordan lays it out, but this was the mantra all day. I mean, there are various iterations, but this was Michael Cohen blaming it on Trump. This is just one of the examples.
My loyalty to Mr. Trump has cost me everything. My family's happiness, friendships, my law license, my company, my livelihood, my honor, my reputation, and soon my freedom. And I will not sit back, say nothing, and allow him to do the same to the country.
So you just heard Jordan lay out all the crimes, and then you heard Cohen blame it all on Trump, right? It's all Trump's fault. Kind of forgot all the stuff he did for his own personal gain. This is interesting. This is Jordan laying out the comments from the Southern District of New York prosecutors. This is cut 7.
And you have a history of lying over and over and over again. And frankly, don't take my word for it. Take what the court said. Take what the Southern District of New York said. Cohen did crimes that were marked by a pattern of deception and that permeated his professional life. These crimes were distinct in their harms but bear a common set of circumstances. They each involved deception and were each motivated by personal greed and ambition. A pattern of deception for personal greed and ambition. And you just got 30 minutes of an opening statement where you trash the President of the United States of America.
Okay, so that is kind of a list. We got time for one more, Jeff. I want to get this one in because we're going to talk about this with James Trustee next. Talk about the Stormy Daniels and, you know, the campaign finance violation. But this was something that was just kind of glossed over. But listen to Cohen here saying that the Stormy Daniels mess goes back to 2011. It didn't start in October of 2016.
This goes back all the way to 2011. This wasn't the first scenario with Ms. Daniels.
Let's go back then.
So my point is this was an ongoing situation. It didn't just start in October.
Right. Please, you have
to let me finish.
Well,
it didn't start in October.
Let me ask you specifically on that. When were you disbarred?
Yesterday, from what I read in the paper.
Yesterday. When should you have been disbarred?
All right. Some great questions there from Jordan with Michael Cohen. But you heard that the Stormy Daniels thing didn't just start in 2016. So a little background. We'll talk about that with James Trustee next. And do stay with us. A very interesting conversation with the former chief of the organized crime section at the United States Department of Justice. 6:46, time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
All earlier problems on 66 eastbound at 123 cleared away, and the delays have eased. No more problems there. Starting to see a little bit of slow traffic right now on the inner loop of the Beltway headed towards the Dulles Toll Road from the vicinity of the Tysons area, so do be aware of that. Otherwise, no other problems to report. Do keep in mind that if you're traveling the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, speeds are reduced to 40 miles an hour between 197 and 32 due to poor road conditions. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
And indeed, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast is soggy this morning. We'll have clouds this afternoon. We're going to go up to 48 today. We have a wintry mix coming in the morning tomorrow, but we'll have a high temperature on Sunday of 38. Our overnight low is only expected to go down to about 34 or so. It will stay cool, though, the remainder of the week, so keep that in mind if you have plans. We'll be down in the teens for overnight low temperatures during the week. As we look ahead to Monday, we'll have sunshine with a high of 38, sunny on Tuesday, high to 39, and on Wednesday, some clouds with a high of 29. 33 right now in Washington, headed to 48, and we are at 6:48, Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update. It is great to have you with us this morning, and as we all watched the testimony from Michael Cohen on Capitol Hill, a lot of legal questions came to mind, and I thought we might be able to get some of them answered this morning. We're joined by James Trustee. He's an attorney with IFRA Law here in Washington. He's formerly the chief of the organized crime section at the U.S. Department of Justice. In his practice now, he focuses on white-collar defense and issues facing industries such as cybersecurity and computer fraud, even to money laundering and asset forfeiture. And James, it's good to have you back with us on WMAL.
Good to be here. Thanks, Rick.
As you watched the Cohen testimony and watched the interrogation, did you have any particular feelings? What struck you about the entire afternoon?
Well, I suppose the starting point is the kind of surrealism of Congress bringing in as a star witness somebody who's already lied to them and been convicted of that. I mean, I never quite got past that. But In terms of looking at Cohen, listening to him, and trying to decipher whether he's being truthful, I mean, there's no magic to it. There's nothing about attorneys doing it that's any better than anyone else, and that's what jurors are called to do on every trial. But I think there's really kind of two alternatives. I mean, one is that this is a guy who was once a very fierce, threatening, bully kind of personality who is now just broken and is a shell of himself and is just kind of pouring out the truth. And the other is somebody who is still kind of low cunning, someone who is still manipulative and, you know, still overplays some things. And, yeah, again, I think a lot of people went into it basically knowing they were going to see what they wanted to see. But I thought he overplayed a couple of things. I mean, I think he was a little borderline petty from time to time. And I also think he kind of announced his own victimhood too much. And most people really don't gravitate towards treating someone as a victim if they are spending if that witness is spending a lot of time characterizing themselves as a victim. So, you know, when you talk about 10 years of working for the president as victimhood, that he was bamboozled for 10 years, that gets to be pretty hard to swallow, I think.
Well, he blamed his entire downfall on the president and working for the president. And there wasn't a lot made by the media or the Democrats, for that matter, of his own personal tax violations, lying to banks, and crimes that he committed in pursuit of his own interests that had nothing to do with President Trump.
Yeah, that's the hard part about pretending that you're a victim for that many years when you have truly independent criminal activity that you're engaged in. And, you know, that hasn't changed. He's pled guilty. He's been investigated by prosecutors for a number of his own misdeeds. They all focus on dishonesty, whether it's taxi medallions or tax fraud. And so there's an awful lot of baggage there for credibility that has really nothing to do with being a fixer or doing some of the things that he says President Trump had him do.
There was one statement he made, and I think a lot of people missed it, and I missed it the first time, but listening back to it, I heard this. He was talking about the hush payments to Stormy Daniels, and he said, "This is not something that came up in October. It actually started in 2011 with Stormy Daniels." So if there is a history of making hush payments to protect his family long before he runs for the presidency, is that a defense in terms of the definition of whether it's a campaign finance violation? I don't think there's been a clear definition of whether it was actually a campaign finance violation.
Right. Well, there's been prosecutors looking at this for some time with the benefit of Cohen's private version of this, which I assume tracks what he said the other day. But the bottom line is campaign finance violations are not slam dunk easy on a number of levels. You have to prove the financing itself having some connection to the campaign, but very importantly, and this is what goes to what you just asked, it has to reflect upon a willful state of mind by the defendant. And so if you have payments going back to 2011 that are hush money, non-disclosure agreements, they may well be legal, embarrassing and politically damaging, but very legal. And so, again, if the president has this, you know, situation where multiple times, I guess, he was trying to take care of people by keeping them quiet, the law allows that in most circumstances. And if it started in 2011, then we know that there's a history that's clearly not connected to campaign finance. So it is something that's a defense, and it is something that may carry the day for this president, that the payments are embarrassing but not criminal.
Cohen pled guilty to a campaign finance violation. The president or his legal team did not have the opportunity to defend against it, but the media runs with it as though, since Cohen pled guilty to it, that automatically the president is supposedly guilty of the same crime. Does that affect the president's ability to defend against it?
Well, here's the thing that's kind of interesting about that. I mean, it's a very aggressive approach by the Southern District of New York to have a plea agreement that included language that made it eminently clear that they believed that Cohen had colluded, to use a phrase, with the president to violate these campaign finance laws. But everyone's plea is individual to themselves. So that guilty plea in terms of court is not something that's suddenly admissible against this president. So I think it's a very interesting question. The main thing that it shows in terms of Cohen pleading guilty to that is that the Southern District of New York is giving it a hard look and they're taking it very seriously. But gratuitously or aggressively putting it into a statement of facts to kind of embarrass individual one doesn't necessarily translate into a criminal case someday. So, again, we have to take a little bit of a wait and see to see where Manhattan goes with that information.
As Michael Cohen was divulging so much personal and private information about Donald Trump, the Trump Organization, and even his family, the obvious question is, where does attorney-client privilege begin and where does it end? Who really is the authority on that? Is it the Bar Association? Is it the law?
Yeah, that's a great couple of questions. I mean, attorney-client privilege is really an ancient concept, and it basically defends the client from the attorney disclosing things to the rest of the world. So typically, with very few exceptions, the client is the one that can control the use of that privilege, and the client can make sure that his attorney is never spouting off and talking about things that were privileged. What's interesting here, when you take people to Congress and you ask them questions about one-on-one conversations, there's no referee, there's no judge. And so we're really in a very strange position where attorney-client privilege is being kind of ignored. Now, a couple of things. One is attorney-client privilege does not survive the presence of third person. So if, say, Roger Stone calls and there's a speakerphone call in the middle of a meeting between the president and his attorney, testimony didn't actually touch attorney-client privilege because there were other people in the room or other people engaged in the conversation. But there was a lot of moments where it seemed to me it was pretty clear that it was a one-on-one conversation with the president. You know, when you're in law school, they tell you, you take the privilege to the grave, and it's not the client's grave, it's your grave. And so here we've got some pretty significant unchallenged moments where attorney-client privilege is being blown wide open and there's nobody able to litigate it anywhere.
What should Cohen's responsibility have been in terms of advising the president that things he might have been asking him to do, if in fact he did, those things may not stand up to legality or to ethics? What was his responsibility to advise the president not to do these things?
Well, any attorney has to obey the law, too. And so if the attorney thinks there's something that's questionable, that it's an evasion, you know, a violation of criminal law, something that could be construed as obstructionist, they have an ethical responsibility to distance themselves from that, to advise, hey, we can't do that, and to withdraw as counsel. It seems kind of outlandish to think of the relationship between Trump and Cohen as being quite that principled. I mean, Mr. Cohen, whatever you think of him, truthful or not, he was pretty much a fixer dealing with, you know, fairly sleazy situations. And so it seems to me that there wasn't much hope that Mr. Cohen was going to take the high road during that 10 years and announce and advise the president that they're doing something that might be construed as wrong.
Cohen testified on the Hill that he did not seek a job at the White House, that he did not seek the position of chief of staff. But in an older television interview, he seemed to mention that he was, in fact, interested. Many people around him have said that he was seeking a position. Even the Southern District of New York said he was seeking a position in the White House. Republicans have filed a referral on it for possible perjury. If, in fact, he did perjure himself, where does that put him with Mueller and with his sentence and with the Southern District?
That's a good question. I mean, the sentencing has already taken place, and at least up until Cohen's testimony the other day, I think it was 99.9% clear that nothing was going to change that sentence, that he was going to, you know, go to the Bureau of Prisons and serve it out. I'm not sure any prosecutor is going to have a stomach for trying to build a perjury case on that statement that he made, in part because he's already going to prison for false statements, and they brought him in knowing that. It just seems like it might be a bridge too far for a prosecutor to invest the resources in it. But I think what's really interesting that ties into that is that Cohen specifically said that he is cooperating, present tense, with the Southern District of New York. And I think that is really intriguing because the Southern District of New York kind of blew his credibility out of the water in their sentencing memo. They talked about how he had failed as a cooperator, how he had not even disclosed all of his known misconduct. So something's got to give there. Either Cohen has some reason to think that they are reversing themselves and that they're contemplating
what's called a Rule 35, which is a way to reduce his sentence, or he's just added another, you know, piece of wood to the fire in terms of his own poor credibility by suggesting he's cooperating when he's still a failed cooperator.
Very helpful, James. Thank you so much, because a lot of us have so many questions about this, and we will continue to have these questions as this all plays out in the weeks and months and probably years ahead. James Trustee, IFRA Law here in Washington, thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
7 o'clock news is coming up next with Heather Curtis. Then we are back with John Gizzi, and we'll be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer all on the way.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Download the TuneIn app so you can take us with you wherever you go. WMAL, a Cumulus station.